Well, good afternoon, and my name is Amy Toy, and this is my program called Angel Answers with Amy Toy, and I'm very privileged and honored for you to join me today. I have a great topic planned for us, and I'm going back to the basics of spirituality a little bit here, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about the principles of A Course in Miracles. And yes, I'm still doing angel readings and throughout the hour, but I just wanted to kind of go into this and kind of give you an overview, so maybe this will help you in it, you know, the Course as it has helped me, or the Course in Miracles, also known as the Course. Because a lot of people are having some perilous times out there and turbulent times. But before we get started, I have a few announcements. Remember, on March 19th, if you weren't there to join us for our show, Lynn Woodland, I loved her book. I'm going to keep plugging it. Making Miracles, Create New Realities for Your Life and Our World. And her website is Lynn Woodland, LynnWoodland.com. So check that out and check out the book. I'm telling you, the book was awesome. It created a lot of miracles in my life. If you want to email me, I'm at angelicamy35@gmail.com. My website is angelanswers11.com if you want to find me for a personal reading. I'm on Twitter, and that's angelanswers11.com or at angelanswers, or I have a Facebook page as well. So today we're just going to do that, and I will be taking calls. If you guys want to call in early, that would be great. I will be taking calls. And in between calls, I will be taking, we'll be talking about A Course in Miracles and maybe going through the workbook. And if you are inclined to do so, I'll give you some information to pursue that. So for those callers within the U.S. and Canada, the phone number is 1-888-627-6008. And those outside the U.S. and Canada, our international callers, is area code 530-413-4522. So, The Course in Miracles is a little interesting book. It's not like a Bible, but a lot of, I want to say, New Age thought people have thought of it as a Bible. The Course was introduced in 1976, and it was published as like a three-volume set, which is, I believe, the text, the workbook, and then I believe the manual for teachers. So, the Course is a pretty thick book. It's not that costly because you can go and get the verses or the workbook lessons, like I will discuss. We'll do the workbook lesson one today, towards the end of the show, and you can go to different websites and get it for free. You don't have to purchase the course, but unless you want to really get into the meat of it, you want to look at the text or whatever, which I have done. The course actually I came upon it by accident almost back in 2007, 2008. When I'm not plugging Oprah, please don't think I'm plugging Oprah Winfrey, but she had Oprah and Friends on Sirius XM Radio, and I came across, just by accident, Marianne Williamson's program. She would talk about the Course in Miracles and kind of explain and expand upon the terms, and we will go through the different terms today. And I read her book, A Return to Love, Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles, a long time ago. I had the book for, I think, about 9-10 years before I even picked up the course. And I hadn't read it yet, and it was on my bookshelf, and I finally read it in 3-day period. So that shows you how you can have books lying around and later have them for use. So anyway, the Course in Miracles was kind of channeled by a woman named Helen Schumann. And she had a hard time with it. She was going through a rough time in her life, too. And the course just kind of helped her shift her perception in many ways. And, you know, there's no author that is accredited for the Course in Miracles, A Course in Miracles. And it's published by the Foundation for Inner Peace. And I do believe that is correct, that the course is... brings you peace and helps you with the, you know, nature of forgiveness. And yes, Helen Schumann and William Tedford, they were professors of medical psychology at Columbia University's College of Physicians and Surgeons in New York City. And this came to Helen Schumann, I believe it was a channeled situation, she credits it that Jesus spoke to her, and that's fine. The course is a course that's going to help you if you choose to delve into it, or if you just choose to read Miss Williamson's book, will kind of help you put your life in perspective. And when I was going through the course, it was like 2007, 2008. I was listening to Oprah Winfrey's radio, internet radio network, and I really resonated with Marianne Williamson's show. First of all, she did start the workbook exercises, the 365 workbook exercises, and the topics were very pertinent to me. At that time, I had moved out again. I had gone back to college and moved back with my parents for about a two-year period, and I moved out, and I was kind of lonely. I was going through a very tumultuous time in my life. I was fighting my purpose, like we talked about last week, about finding our purpose. Mine was psychic and work and the healing work and everything else that's caught up in it. And I really read the Course in Miracles, and it brought me comfort and inner peace. It taught me a few things, that this world that we create, this is our creation, this world that we have, it's an illusion. There's only two emotions, fear and love. A lot of times we're running on fear, and that's what the world's running on right now, the fear consciousness that we are on with the rising gas prices, with, the Middle East problems we've had, the U.S. economy, what have you. There's a lot of people in perilous times. And so the course at that time helped me because I was in a law firm that I hated. I hated the job. It's one of the biggest law firms in my area. And it just wasn't a right fit for me. So I'm going through the workbook exercises. I'm praying for a miracle. And I'll talk about what a miracle is according to the course in a moment. And I remember just reading through this, and every morning I'd get up and I would just, Miss Winfrey on her website has, she had dedicated 365 workbook exercises. I don't know if we can still find those. Like I said, you can go on other websites. So I'll give you information to that. So with that, I kept doing the workbook exercises. Every day I do the workbook exercises, even if it didn't hit me right away. Somehow my subconscious was changed because of those workbook exercises. I was brought to inner peace. I was brought to a better sense of self. And around that time, I was just in peril. They call it the dark night of the soul, where the dark night of the soul is where you feel like you are so alone. Even though I had guides, my angels, and I still felt alone in some sense. But this brought me comfort, and I will always be grateful. In fact, I think I'm going to go back through the text and the workbook exercises and start doing them. And you can continue to do them until you feel, people have gone through them for years. It's like a daily Bible verse, if you will. So it's really so cool that you have these books attainable to you. We have the Bible. We have, A Course in Miracles. And we have all these different things. And I don't think the course, it's not a religious program. It's not, anything like that. It's just a manual for healing ourselves in some way, finding forgiveness, if you will. Because sometimes we, like I said, we have this forgiveness blockage. And when that happens, we kind of need some help. And I really think that the Course in Miracles helped me forgive aspects of my relationship with my mother at the time, because I had prayed about that. And I love Marianne Williamson, that program. I wish Oprah would have it archived, we could access it and really learn from it. So anyway, the Course in Miracles has some terms. Like I said, it's comprised of three books, the text, the workbook for students, and the manual for teachers. Now, I am by no means a teacher of this. I'm just a lay person that's bringing you some of this information. And like I said, this is a journey that we're all on together. And we meet, and sometimes we're in this journey, and I have a wonderful poem I actually found for the show, too, today, that you may have found it in your inboxes at one time or another, or heard of. So we're on this journey, and we meet different people, and I'm just here to enlighten you on the different paths that we have. And that's the good part about all this. This is something that you're not required to do. Maybe you will not pick up the course for years. Like I said, I had to return to love, Miss Williamson's book for many years. And once I had it for a very long time, so I didn't pick it up right away. And Miss Williamson will even say to you, I think I've heard, if I'm not mistaken, on her show, she said that she didn't pick up the Course in Miracles for a long time either. It was like a, I believe it was on her coffee table as a good paperweight, as I think she puts it. So it's something that to look into if you're so inclined. And it does help with the dark night of the soul. With a lot of people going through the changes, and the past, I would say the past couple months for some people have been hellacious. People, relationships are breaking up, people are losing jobs, money is tight. And I've got a lot of callers that recently were suicidal. And so for you listeners out there, there is hope out there. And I'm just going to give you some tips on how to deal with this world, because we are of it, but not, we are not a part of it. We're separate from, you know, we, like Jesus said, I may be in the world, but I am not a part of the world. There's a separation there. We have to pay taxes and we die, but we are on a spiritual journey, most of us, and with that journey comes, I would say, heightened responsibility. And for me, that is educating you on maybe helping you one day finding a peaceful mind in a chaotic world. So anyway, there's a couple of phrases, like I said, in the Course. A miracle is a shift of perception from fear to love. What does that mean? What is a miracle? As, you know, we had our author on about a month ago. She talked about making miracles. Well, I tell my clients, if they're in such terrible turmoil and peril, you can ask for a miracle. And a miracle comes when you ask for it. You don't have to ask, you know, you don't have to be, feel unworthy of receiving a miracle or whatever. We are accessible to everything in this world. We are, you know, the Bible says we are, we're made in God's image. I don't know about that. I think we are part pieces of God, and we're little lights. And we're all spirit, and we're all parts of spirit. And what I'm saying may be blasphemous to some of you, but because I was brought up with a God, my understanding when I was growing up, or the universal mind, or whatever, where, you know, it was outside of myself, and it was an external force, where it was a white-bearded man with a staff, and if you didn't do what it what this person said, it would, you know, hurt you, and, you know, if you didn't pay homage to it, and if you didn't do this and that, and you were to be subservient and all this crap. That's the God of the ego, and ego is edging God out, E-G-O, edging God out. Because the ego is the one that says, hey, I'm separate here. I, you know, without me, you would be, it's a false sense of self. And we have a lot of egomaniacs out there who think that they're living on ego instead of looking for the light within them. They look outside to themselves. So the Course talks about working, kind of not taming our ego, because you can't get rid of it. It's something that's a part of you, but you can tame it. I used to, you know, wonder, can I get rid of my ego? No, it's part, that's something you have to work on. It's taming. So a miracle is a shift from perception, from fear to love. And what is fear? Fear is anxiety, nervousness, hate, unforgiving, vengeance. That's fear. And sadness, disappointment, depression, what have you, that's fear. And that's false evidence appearing real. Now, you may have heard this before. Or, like I said, with the emotions, false emotions appearing real. So there's different acronyms we can use here. And with love, you know, that's happiness, joy, pleasure, exhilaration, exuberance, jovial, humor, love. Love is, that's what it is, peace, serenity, tranquility, something that I think we're lacking in this world right now, or some of us aren't. We're like the eye of the storm that's calm, but everything else around us can swirl around. To get to that point is something that, you know, I'm even working towards. I used to have glimmers of it, but now it's like whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I cannot change that. I am an acceptance of things. And it takes a lot to ruffle my feathers, but once they do, watch out. So with that, that's what a miracle is. And like I said, there's certain things here. Now, the Holy Spirit, now, it's talked about in the Course quite a bit. The Holy Spirit is almost like a messenger of God. brought down. Marian Williamson talks about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's like a helper, and that's what it describes. That's how it's described in the Course. Now, the Holy Spirit is like a mediator towards miracles, I believe. Like I said, I am a lay person when it comes to this. I'm just going by the research. It's been a while since I had it. And when we talk about the Course, there's a couple different things I'm going to read out of the Course, and I'm not trying to be boring or anything. And the introduction is, this is a course in miracles. It is a required course. Only the time you take is it voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. The course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. The Course can therefore be summed up very simply in this way: nothing can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So, that's the introduction of the Course, and then it goes into the text. And the text, when I read it the first time, didn't hit me. It was very difficult to kind of get into the text of the Course in Miracles. But that's okay, because you're putting it out there, and somehow, in your subconscious mind, it does bring it together. And the Course talks about prayer. Prayer is the medium of miracles. And that is true. It is the medium of miracles. And miracles are thoughts. A miracle is a shift of perception from fear to love. And that's what we want to reach to. We want to reach that love where someone who, I'm not saying you should forgive right away, but forgiving, like we've talked about in the past couple shows, a long time ago, is forgiveness is for ourselves and not for anyone else. And that's what the important thing is. We want to get to a place where we're at peace and where we're at love. We are who we are. People are who they are. I don't care what it is. They are who they are. They're not going to change. They can only change themselves, because we can only change ourselves. And people will call me, and friends will say to me, well, why can't that person change? Well, maybe it's not their path to change. Maybe it's by your example and who you are as a person that they will change. Because if this person is treating you unacceptably, whether that be abusive or they're nasty, they're condescending, they're undermining, they're undercutting who you are, that is unacceptable. And you have talked to this person, you've taken your grievance to your other person, your brother or sister, as they call it, your brother, as it says in the Course in Miracles, and they are not listening to you. It means that you have to alter your perception. Alter, A-L-T-E-R. So you alter your perception of it. And maybe it's not that person's time to change as you want them to, because they might be going around thinking they're fine who they are. So when we have that grievance with someone, and I'm sure we have stories about who's we have a grievance against. I mean, I have a relative. I've mentioned this before. She actually happens to be my sister, my half-sister. And with my father being ill, and I've not come up with, I haven't had the fortune of crossing paths with this woman yet, but I really had to alter my perception of her, because what happened in the past is what happens in the past. I can't change what happened in the past, even though I feel a lot of my relatives live in the past. They don't look what's in front of them, the present and the future. And I think that causes, when you live in the past, it causes you to not experience the present and the future. Your past, it should be left behind you. The past is gone forever, and you can't get it back. You can't resurrect the past. It is what it is. And I think some people, when they're unaware, and they, well, you did this when you were 2 years old. I did. Okay, I am now how old, and you're bringing this up. It impedes them from knowing the real you. And that's what I'm finding with certain people in my family. They live in the past, you know, they bring up what happened 30, 40, 50 years ago without looking at, okay, what's going on now? We have a sick dad here. We got to worry about what's going on with him. So I think we're going to have to pull forces together and decide what we're going to do with his future health plans here. And so you got to kind of alter and take, put aside what your feelings are for people and focus on what's in front of you. And that's a hard order. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be an easy situation for me to do, but in time, that's what is going to have to happen, because that's the way it is. It's a lesson for Earth, and it's a lesson for me, too. And it's really quite sad, because people don't want, you know, you live in the past, and then you're like, you don't know who they really are as people. And I think it's quite sad, but it is what it is. I'm pulling up a website right now that is A Course in Miracles, and it is the Foundation for Inner Peace. It's ACIM, A as in apple, C as in cat, I as in indigo, M as in Mary, .org. And it's a really good website. And I get, every day in my inbox, I get a Course in Miracles workbook verse. And like I said, we'll go through that in a moment. So, what is prayer? Prayer is the medium to miracles. And what does that mean? That means that we pray, and according to the Course in Miracles, to the Holy Spirit, to help us alter, A-L-T-E-R, what's in our heads and what's our perception. And when we pray, we change that perception. Like if it's fearful, we change it from fear to love. It's that simple. I think as humans, we overcomplicate the hell out of everything. And that's true. We do overcomplicate things. And the Course is a wonderful way to, you know, start your day if you want to do the workbook lesson. And maybe we'll incorporate that into the show. I'm not too sure. Another organization that I'm going to pull up here that right now, it's called... Let's see here. This is, of course, Pathways of to Light. Pathwaysoflight.org. And they have all the lessons for free. You don't have to pay for them. Pathwaysoflight.org. And they do have it. And they do have, they'll send you, if you sign up on their email distribution list, they do have the Course in Miracles. And this is a wonderful way to kind of get yourself started in the morning. It's kind of a form of meditation. When I use the Course, I'm talking about a form of meditation, prayer and meditation in the morning. It's how you start your day off, and we've talked about that before, starting your day off in the right way. And I feel that when you do the Course in Miracles, it puts you in the mindset of God. It puts you in that I'm of service to others. And whatever lessons I'm here to learn. Because relationships, according to the Course in Miracles, relationships are the laboratory of the Holy Spirit. And relationships come in different sizes and shapes, whether that be we meet the mailman and how you doing, we know Bill the mailman for 10 billion years, and we see him, that's an acquaintance, you know, he's just kind of old, reliable Bill. Or those familiar relationships like my sister and I. That's a lifelong they call it assignment. Relationships are assignments from the Holy Spirit. They are a laboratory because you never know what combustible matter is going to blow up when you think of your college or high school. Well, me, it was college, I think. I took chemistry in college. I'm not, you know, it's those combustible materials and you mix this chemical and this composition, it's going to blow up. Well, the same way with relationships. They are assignments. And sometimes relationships don't last as long as we like. I mean, I have clients that call me and say they want the holy relationship, that holy, where that's a lifetime relationship. And here's a little poem that I'm sure people have heard before. Reason, season, lifetime. People come into your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime. When you figure out which one it is, You will know what to do for each person. You will know what to do for each person. When someone is in your life for a reason, it is usually to meet a need you have expressed. They have come to assist you through a difficulty, to provide you with guidance and support, to aid you physically, emotionally, or spiritually. They may seem like a godsend, and they are. They are there for the reason you need them to be. Then, without any wrongdoing on your part or at an inconvenient time, this person will say or do something to bring the relationship to an end. Sometimes they die. Sometimes they walk away. Sometimes they act up and force you to take a stand. What we must realize is that our need has been met, our desire fulfilled, their work is done. The prayer you set up has been answered, and now it is time to move on. Some people come into your life for a season because your turn has come to share, grow, or learn. They bring you an experience, a peace, or make you laugh. They may teach you something you have never done. They usually give you an unbelievable amount of joy. Believe it, it is real, but only for a season. Lifetime relationships teach you lifetime lessons. Things you must build upon in order to have a solid emotional foundation. Your job is to accept the lesson, love the person, and put what you have learned to use in all other relationships and areas of your life. It is said that love is blind, but friendship is clairvoyant. And then it says, thank you for being a part of my life, whether you are a reason, a season, or a lifetime. It's author unknown. I'm sure we've gotten those in our inboxes, but I thought it was pertinent because with relationships, sometimes they come to an end. And those lifetime relationships, you know, they're not so much a lifetime anymore. We are in a society where people come into our lives, we learn something, and the gift is whatever we're meant to learn from them. And like I said, according to the Course in Miracles, relationships are the laboratory of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives us these assignments, whether that be someone who has come into my life to teach me how to laugh more, to cry more, or maybe I'm administering a lesson, and the lessons are not easy, and I think as you become more spiritually grown up, I'll call it that, and heightened awareness, the lessons become a little bit more difficult. It's like mastery. Mastering. Do you ever have a lesson where the same thing comes up, but in different ways? It may be the same script, different person. You're like, why do I keep attracting these drama queens, for example? Or why am I attracting these women or men that are cheaters? Or why am I attracting these dishonest people? With those kind of situations, what you need to do is look at yourself. And usually, it took me a while to kind of comprehend and put this into my personal repertoire of spiritual toolbox, if you will. Look at myself? What do you mean, look at myself? Yeah, reflect back with the person. People are mirrors, and they reflect back to us what we need to learn. They reflect back to us what we need to learn. They're like a mirror, mirroring back to you. Perhaps the person who is being dishonest needs to look at why are they attracting dishonest people? Are they being dishonest with themselves in an area of their life, whether that be the career path, whether that be, maybe someone who's a cheater? Are you cheating yourself out of maybe settling for people who are not really of the healthiest and you deserve better? Whatever it is, you need to look at that and see. And once you look at that, and like I said, the same situation keeps coming up, and you're like, what the heck? I'm going to this great place, maybe to work, for example. I'm getting this demanding boss, or this abusive boss, or whatever. Something that you attract who you are, and unfortunately that's what happens. And you got to look at parts of yourself that are not pleasant to look at. Maybe you're not feeling you're worthy of working for a better place. Remember when I was working at one of the law firms, actually it was my last job, and I might have mentioned this about, the attorney that I worked for was a drug addict. And I had been around, I would say, substance abuse people off and on throughout my life. And it finally took that lesson of me, He wanted me to go into his office drawer and get a pencil or something, and I opened the drawer. I remember this so clearly. He had painkillers. I think it was Vicodin or something like that. Like 300 or something. I don't know if he saw them, but it was a big bottle. It was like one of those big prescription bottles, but tall and it was fat. And I was like, wow, no wonder he's you know, moody. I had a look at that because I would say to myself, why am I always in these situations where I always end up to be screwed over and they don't? And it took me a while to realize that that's what I was attracting in my life. I didn't think I deserved better, and then I worked on my own, and that's what happened. But there's lessons here. And I also attracted a boyfriend that lied to me. And I feel like he'd say he was going out to his sisters. That was his favorite thing to say. And I catch him out lying, you know, and found out that he was drunk with the guys, which I didn't care if he was truthful with me. But he didn't want to go there. He didn't want to mention that he had gone out with the guys. Or he would, you know, not call when he said it, you know, whatever. He would lie. And it was minor lies, but it was lies. And so I had to look at myself, what was I lying to myself about? And I did a lot of looking into things and looking into the past and looking where I needed to be honest with myself with something. And I did. I came up with some hard truths about myself, and I'm still digging up the ruins. We're going to be taking a break in a few minutes. I just want to cover a couple more things about the Course in Miracles. When you're reaching those lessons of hard reality, in lesson 153 of the Course, and I love this saying, all things are lessons that God would have us, me, learn. Well, all things are lessons that God would have us, me, learn. What am I learning from this? Where is it? What am I learning? What do I need to look at? I mean, that's a hard, hard situation to look at ourselves. And sometimes it's us not treating ourselves correctly or properly and respecting ourselves. And that's quite a bit. I will be taking calls if you want to call me. The phone number for the U.S. and Canada is 1-888-627-6008. And those international callers is 530-413-4522. And we'll be right back. Hi, and welcome back to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. In our second half of the show, we're going to definitely talk about more about A Course in Miracles, maybe get into the first workbook lesson of the course, and really just kind of see where it goes from there. There's a couple other terms and I'd like to mention, but first, you know, if you want to call me, I will mention the phone numbers. The U.S. and in the U.S. and Canada is 1-888-627-6008. And outside the U.S. and Canada, international callers can call 530-413-4522. I'm still doing angel messages. Don't think I'm not doing with the angels, but I'm just enlightening you on the different techniques if you want to really go there. And I have the angel message for the day the angels want me to bring out before we get any further. Like I said, you can find me at angelanswers11.com or at angelanswers11 on Twitter. I have a Facebook page, and then my email address is angelicamy35@gmail.com. Let's see what the angels have to say for us today. All righty. What do I got here? Miracles. Wow, that's ironic. That's really ironic. Miracles. Well, we're talking about miracles today. You know, and how we can use the course, A Course in Miracles in our lives. And there's a few other, you know, miracles. Prayer is the medium of miracles. We talked about the Holy Spirit as being kind of the go-between between, you know, the helper. He's our helper, or she or it is our helper. And we also talked about a miracle is a shift of fear, is a shift of perception from fear to love. And that's a very important thing. I know I keep harping on that, but it is a shift of fear, a shift of perception from fear to love. And that's very important because it is our perceptions. It's our self-analysis. Self-analysis sometimes leads to over-paralysis. But when we do some self-analysis and we really look at things from a spiritual vantage point, from what the Holy Spirit, and prayer is the medium of miracles. Sometimes we need answers, and I'm not adverse to praying, in fact. I still pray. I do. That's part of my spiritual life, and that's part of my daily practice. Some people use spell work as a form of prayer, and I found it interesting. Someone had said to me that writing and painting is like a form of prayer to God. It's a prayer being sent up to God, or universal mind, or whatever have you. And I like to think of the angels as kind of helpers, too, with that. They kind of help us and ground us and guide us. So when we talk about the course, I'm going to go into the workbook, and like I said, I am taking calls. If you want to call me, if not, that's fine, too. If you want to email me and we can talk privately, that's okay, too. And I'm okay, whatever floats your guy's boat. When we talk about infinite patience produces immediate results, and that's the last phrase of the course that I really want to bring out. Infinite patience produces immediate results. Isn't it funny? When you're waiting for something to happen, maybe you're waiting for the relationship or the job or the finances or whatever, and you're like anxious, and that anxiety falls under that fear. Those two emotions, fear and love, that falls under the fear factor. It's a show, by the way. That fear that goes under, that anxiety, that worry energy delays things. Now people call me up, and it's the big question is when. On God's time now. I'm not doing timing anymore with some of my clients. It's up to the Holy Spirit or whatever flow of energy. But I found that infinite patience produces immediate results. When I'm thinking that it's going to take a long time, is when it appears faster, because maybe I'm an allowance. I don't know why that works. And I'm not a patient person. Like I said, that's why one of my life lessons is patience. And I think when I pray for patience, the more, you know, I'm being kind of shown lessons for patience. So I've been telling my guides to stop that, my angels. But that's the truth. It's when you're patient and when you know, when you have the faith, that things are coming to you, whether that be that job or the money or the relationship or the house or the car or whatever you need. It comes when it's supposed to come. And when you look back at it, maybe a year, 5, 10, 15, 50 years, you look back at maybe that period in your life, things happen, things are going to play out the way they're supposed to, whether you like it or not. And I have found in my own life that sometimes things just play out a lot better than I had ever planned for. But when I place God in the equation, G-O-D, God, in the equation, and when I offer him some prayers or ask the Holy Spirit to help me with this, things work out fast, a lot smoother than I could have planned for. And I'm not saying you should be like willy-nilly about life and kind of sit back and well, sometimes you got to just put the energy out there and allow things to happen. And it's not easy. It really isn't. In this world, it's not easy because everything's instant gratification. Let's jump through hoops here. Let's jump, 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 jump. Let's do it now, 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 now. Sometimes now is not here. And maybe you're being saved from that catastrophic relationship. If you went out with that guy, he could have been some serial killer or could have been abusive. Or that job that was... Their rejection is God's protection. I remember someone telling me that years ago. Their rejection is God's protection. And sometimes we have these opportunities around us and we're rejected. Maybe, you know, a lot of clients are calling me about job situations. They're up for maybe one or two jobs and they don't get the one and the other one I didn't really want, but they got it. And they're like, I'm like, look at the blessing. Maybe there's a blessing in this for you. And then they'll call me up a year later and say, you know what, this job actually was not pretty, it wasn't so bad. I found out the other job, you know, she was a mean boss, or I would have had, you know, someone really be nasty to me. So that's the way to look sometimes at things. And it may not be now, but it may be later. And that's the way it is. So this is the introduction to the workbook. And it's a theoretical foundation, such as the text provides, is necessary as a framework to make the exercises in this workbook meaningful. Yet it is doing the exercises that will make the goal of the course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. It is the purpose of this workbook to train your mind to think along the lines the text sets forth. The exercises are very simple. They do not require a great deal of time, and it does not matter where you do them. They need no preparation. The training period is 1 year, In our case, we may be doing this. I'm not too sure. The exercises are numbered from 1 to 35. Do not undertake to do more than one set of exercises a day. So one workbook lesson a day. The workbook is divided into two main sections, the first dealing with the undoing of the way you see now, and the second with the acquisition of true perception. With the exception of the review periods, each day's exercises are planned around one central idea, which is stated first. This is followed by a description of the specific procedures by which the idea for the day is to be applied. The purpose of the workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. The exercises are planned to help you generalize the lessons so that you will understand that each of them is equally applicable to everyone and everything you see. Transfer of training in true perception does not transfer of training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. On the other hand, one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The only general rules to be observed throughout then are, first, that the exercises be practiced with great specificity as well as indicated. As will be indicated. This will help you to generalize the ideas involved to every situation in which you find yourself and to everyone and everything in it. Second, be sure that you do not decide for yourself that there are some people, situations, or things to which the ideas are inapplicable. They will interfere with transfer of training. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is opposite of the way you see now. The overall aim of the exercises is to increase your ability to extend the ideas you will be practicing to include everything. This will require no effort on your part. The exercises themselves meet the conditions necessary for this kind of transfer. Some of the ideas the workbook presents you will find hard to believe, and others may seem to be quite startling. This does not matter. You are merely asking to apply the ideas as you are directed to do. You are not asked to judge them all. You are asked only to use them. It is their use that will give them meaning to you and will show you that they are true. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas. You need to not accept them. You need not even to welcome them. Some of them you may actively resist. None of this will matter or decrease their efficiency. But do not allow yourself to make exceptions in applying the ideas of the workbook contains. And whatever your reactions to the ideas may be, use them. Nothing more that is required. So having an open mind. And that's what the workbook has talked. That's the introduction to the workbook. And it's a good idea to practice these exercises if you choose to do the workbook, the lessons of the workbook, twice a day. One in the morning and one at night. And in the workbook, they will give you, it's almost like an affirmation, and then I'll explain the affirmation. Like in part one, lesson one, nothing I see in this room, on the street, from this window, in this place, means anything. Now, look slowly around you and practice applying this idea very specifically to whatever you see. The table does not mean anything. This chair does not mean anything. This hand does not mean anything. This foot does not mean anything. This pen does not mean anything. Then look farther away from your immediate area and apply the idea to a wider range. The door does not mean anything. That body does not mean anything. That lamp does not mean anything. That sign does not mean anything. That shadow does not mean anything. Notice that these statements are not arranged in any order and make no allowance for differences in the kinds of things to which they are applied. That is the purpose of the exercise. The statement that should merely be applied to anything you see. As you practice the idea for the day, use it totally indiscriminately. Do not attempt to apply it to anything you see, for these exercises should not become ritualistic. Only be sure that nothing you see is specifically excluded. thing is like another as far as the application of the idea is concerned. Each of the first three lessons should not be done more than twice a day, preferably morning and evening, nor should they be attempted for more than a minute or so, unless that entails a sense of hurry. A comfortable sense of leisure is essential. So an open mind, a relaxed idea, and the course will lead you to inner peace. Because everything we see is an illusion out there. And that's what the course is trying to say and trying to teach us. That what we see is not really what we see. It is a matter of perception from fear to love. That's what the miracle is. And that's why I would really encourage you to go on those websites, ACIM, A is in apple, C is in cat, I is in indigo, M is in Mary.org. And really look at those courses, and look at the Course in Miracles, pathwaysoflight.org. Those are really good websites to look at. And maybe they'll make a change in their life. And maybe you will start to see different things, miracles happen in your life. And the Course does help that. It does change your perception. And what you once thought was burdensome is no longer, and vice versa. And that's the important thing. We really want to use that, and with the help, like I said, with the angels. The angels are really pivotal in showing us what we need to know. And if you want to call in the angels for help with different lessons, go for it. They are not here to not help you, but they are to help. They are here to help you and be of service to you, as we need to be of service to one another and to help with one another. And that's what my aim for the show is, to help you on your journey. And perhaps the journey has been very rocky up to this point. That's okay. We all need to be who we are. And the Course in Miracles may change your life. It may not, but I'm telling you, it will change your perception. Because everything real is an illusion. Everything we think is real is an illusion. And when we look at how we're seeing things in the world, and that's why I don't watch the news. It's very negative. It's very disheartening for me to start my day watching the news. It's just, you know, my fiancé does it. Go in the other room and watch it. You've got to know what's going on with, you know, the Western, you know, we're in Western New York, so the Buffalo Sabres or the Buffalo Bills or whatever sports team he's into that week, you know, is on. He wants to watch it. That's what he'll do. So that's fine. That's what he wants to do. But I choose not to. I choose to look past that and focus on what I need to do for me. And we all have a lesson. And so for the next couple weeks, we have some, next week I'm going to do codependent relationships. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to talk characteristics of codependency, where it comes from, where it stems from. And then I'm going to try to get some healers on the show, and we can talk about different modalities of healing, how you can use the healing modalities to aid you in healing of your life, these specific issues. It has been my experience that people who really work on themselves, whether that be a 12-step program or an online chat or what have you with their issues, and who go to a therapist and a trained therapist, the show's not here to, you know, do therapy, and who do body work or energy work like integrated energy therapy, which is channeling the angels, or Reiki, or there's Theta healing, or Theta healing, I can't pronounce that, or whatever modes of healing, that they have energy work done. That will help release the issues and work through some stuff faster and a lot more efficiently. So that's one thing. So we'll get some healers, and they'll explain different modalities and how they can help you if that's what you choose. You know, we may do more on the Course in Miracles. We're going to do a show maybe on Conversations with God. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff that there's out there, and we'll talk about the angels, and we'll have the archangels work, you know, we were definitely working with Archangel Ariel this month on the purpose of life. What is our purpose? Calling Ariel and, you know, or Chamuel, I'm sorry, Chamuel, well, we talked about Chamuel last week, so how we can find purpose in our lives, and Chamuel is good for lost objects, that would be good. And anything else that's in your heart. So I wish you angel blessings. I'm going to sign off right now, and have a great day.